Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Sean Patrick Maloney, tell me about your ideas on tax reform. You know, everybody spouts tax reform. We know that the tax code is replete with, special deals made with special K Street guys to protect their clients and all the rest of it. And everybody talks the same game about cleaning it up. Will it ever be cleaned up?
Well, it's important that people know what we're talking about. I mean, tax reform sounds kind of dry, but here's the bottom line, is that every year, $1.3 trillion, with a T, is not collected by the federal government because of what we call tax expenditures. Those are loopholes, special breaks for people. It's only about $1.2 trillion, actually less than that, that we collect in revenue once all those loopholes are exploited. So we're talking about $17 trillion with interest and other factors over the next 10 years. So when you hear people talking about a few hundred billion here or a few hundred billion dollars there over a 10-year budget deal, you know, this is a number that is in the trillions. So it's a big deal. Now here's the thing. You know, these tax deductions are not all created equal. My measure is very simple. What helps the middle class and what doesn't? What builds the American dream for middle class families and what doesn't? If you're talking about tax breaks that help companies that ship jobs overseas, we need to get rid of those yesterday.
And what's the chance of doing that, Sean?
Well, there are different approaches to doing it. I think that folks like Simpson Bowles and others have said, you know, let's wipe out all these tax breaks and all these loopholes, and then let's go make people come back and justify one at a time what we're going to put back in.
Yeah,
and,
but these are the people who are paying for these guys' campaigns.
So. Well, you know, you're right, and it's why money's killing our politics, and it's why this lobbying culture in Washington is so awful. But I do like the approach that says, let's make everybody explain out in the open, in the broad light of day, why the heck it makes sense to give a tax breaks to, you know, corporate jet owners or to big oil companies when they're the most profitable companies on the planet, and let them explain it out in the light of day, where if middle class families come in and say, we need a home mortgage interest deduction, we can all say, yeah, that makes sense. And when middle-class families come in and say, you know, our neighborhoods are being eaten up by sprawl, so we like these conservation tax easements that preserve open space, particularly in Hudson Valley, and we can say, yeah, that makes sense, and here's what it costs if we do that. But man, we have gotten to the place where we are giving so many tax breaks to so many special interests that the little guy doesn't have a chance anymore. The little guy doesn't get heard down here in Washington. I hope that's not a news flash to anybody.
Yeah.
Everybody is, unless you've got $50,000 a month to spend on some fancy lobbyist, you know, the middle class family doesn't get heard down here, and we got to stop that.
Yeah, but my pitch is to say, yeah, it sounds great, but yeah. You know, we know it. We know how it works. Until you do campaign reform, you're not going to have people paying into people's campaigns, and the only way that they're going to win is by taking the money from the oil company that's getting a disgraceful break. So your words ring true, yet I want to know the path to success.
Well, let me, fair enough, and talk is cheap. So let me tell you, during the campaign, you know, I came out in favor of citizen-funded campaigns.
Sure.
And this is not a popular idea with everybody. And in fact, you know, my friends on the other side beat me up pretty good about it because there are some, you know, there's some easy ways to criticize a system that is financed by all of us as a community. And it's not perfect. But I'll tell you what, it's a heck of a lot better than all this money washing around in politics now from all these special interests. And you're right, it affects policy, and the well-connected and the wealthy get what they want, and middle-class families get the shaft.
So how are you going to make it happen?
Well, I can't do it without people in the Hudson Valley saying enough. So I need help. I mean, I'm just one guy. I need folks listening to this to say, I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to write a letter. I'm going to go to a meeting. I'm going to demand in New York, start in New York. I mean, there are some very good proposals in the state of New York right now to do this on a statewide basis. They do it in New York City. Works pretty well. Again, not perfect, but it works a lot better than the system we got down here. And if we prove it at the state level, in the state that's big enough like New York, you can bring it to the federal level. We could do it as a pilot program in certain types of races. We could phase it in. I mean, there are ways to get through this, and I don't think, by the way, you know, look, I don't think this should be a Democratic or Republican issue. You know, we got to start thinking like Americans again. We got to start caring about our country. And if you look at the lobbying culture in Washington, if you look at the exponential explosion just in the numbers of lobbyists, the amount they get paid, the contributions they make, any rational person would say, this is a problem.
Yeah. But listen, Sean, let's cut to the chase here.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of Republicans who are sitting up there in the state Senate, presumably because they have a little bit more campaign money, but they say they don't want the people's money being used for frivolous things like elections. Your governor, a man you're friendly with, Andrew Cuomo, has basically kept those Republicans in office by not vetoing the apportionment bill, which he said he was going to do. They're up there. Until they're gone, you're never going to have it. You know it, and I know it.
Well, I don't know that I go all the way down the road with you on that, Alan. I think there's plenty of blame to go around on both sides, and what usually gets in the way of solutions is if we indulge ourselves in a lot of finger pointing. What I'm saying is that there are some good proposals right now. There's people in both parties who support them. We should get going on this, and we don't need to run. We can walk before we run. We can start out small and prove it out. But look, at the end of the day, I do agree with you on one thing, which is that. Under the current system, there's a reason things aren't changing. And nobody, not me, not you, not the governor, is going to be able to fix this unless ordinary New Yorkers say, tired of this, and I'm going to start voting for people who believe differently. I mean, at the end of the day, I really think that we need a new burst of engagement from ordinary voters on this because, you know, folks who are listening, this is your government. It's been hijacked. It's not working for you. It's busted. You know, you need to get involved and you need to ask good questions of the people who you're sending to Albany, sending to Washington on things like this. You know, will you support campaign finance reform?
Well, I'm sorry. The governor has $29 million in his campaign account and more in the Democratic coffers of the Democratic Party. He calls those people in, the Republican folks and the so-called caucus conference, and he sits them down and he says to them, hey, look, guys, either you go along with campaign financing or I'm going to make sure that the Democrats, using all their votes, end up being the party that is going to vote for campaign reform. He gets campaign reform. I'm sorry, Sean, we do disagree on this. You could call it finger pointing, but I think there are times, and you do it too, that you hold people responsible.
Hey, look, fair enough. I mean, I don't think we're actually disagreeing about much. I think that if you're talking about what the tactical approach ought to be to get a result, then you know, I'm with you. You know, you need leadership and you need people pushing it. I actually think I give the governor a lot of credit. I think he's actually done an outstanding job of making Albany work again, and I think that he is working very hard on getting some good campaign finance proposals. And I'm glad to see he did this Moreland Commission that is going to investigate corruption in the state legislature. So I give the governor pretty high marks, but he needs partners. And listen, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we can't expect people who are working hard, coming home, trying to get dinner for the kids, trying to figure out how to pay for college. We can't expect them to you know, kind of know all the ins and outs of this. We need to get results for middle-class families in the Hudson Valley again. And the only reason I care about this is because I think it's in the way. When you ask why things like sequestration are happening, when you ask like things like why these big tax breaks are going to people who don't need them, corporations who already got them, this is the reason. And that's what I'm trying to tell people is that if what you want is a better opportunity for your kids, if you want college to be affordable, if you want to have good jobs in the Hudson Valley, if you want to have a government that works, you know, look no further than all the money that's washing around in it. We ought to do something about it.
Sean Patrick Maloney, as always, thanks for the spirited discussion. I love talking to you.
Thanks,
when we come back the next time, I want to talk about immigration.
Great.